For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
Need a holiday gift that will keep her sparkling all year long? Blue Nile, the original online jeweler, has experts on hand 24/7 who can help you find the perfect piece. Beyond that, Blue Nile makes the gifting experience easier than ever with guaranteed free shipping and returns, as well as a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Right now, get 30% off jewelry at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com for 30% off. BlueNile.com.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Jones, he showed his athleticism there on a naked bootleg.
There have been some great times, but of course, we all wish there had been more of those.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Chubb running. Chubb, touchdown. Nick Chubb, the Browns take the lead.
Wilson, he's going to get sacked. Miles Garrett.
I'm the guy. I'm number one right now, and I'm not going anywhere.
Today's guests, Ravens safety Kyle Hamilton, senior writer for Sports Illustrated, Chris Mannix, two-time Emmy-nominated actor Mark Harmon, and now it's Rich Eisen.
That's right, back from a two-day hiatus, if you will, in New York City. Want to make sure that everybody around here gives thanks to Mike Hill for sitting in this chair for the last 2 days. 844-204-RICH, the number to dial. I thank Mike for keeping this ship straight down the middle right here on the Roku Sports Channel. This Rich Eisen Show, terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius XM Odyssey. Tune in. We want to say hello to everybody out there listening to us on our podcast version of the show. All 3 hours can be acquired every day the way you get a podcast. The Jim Jackson Show, the latest episode of that is out with D Nice, was with him right here in studio. The fellas on the No Contest Wrestling Pod, O'Shea Jackson Jr. and TJ Jefferson, their latest is out there for everybody to listen to on our podcast network. Same thing with Susie Schuster, Amy Trask, What the Football with Kevin Harlan. And then Overreaction Monday still out there for everybody to listen to. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. How are you?
Rich, I'm great. What's up, man?
Good to see you, Jay Felly. What's going on?
Are you kidding? This is a dream.
There you go. TJ Jefferson, how are you?
I'm
good to
great,
see you.
Man.
Candles lit.
Welcome back, Cotter.
I appreciate that. Mark Harmon is in studio. Yeah. Speaking of some old school television stars, also Mr. NCIS has got a new book out called Ghosts of Panama. He'll be in talking about that. We got a great celebrity true or false from Mark Harmon. Tons of stuff to talk about with him. And that will be all sorts of good in our hood. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on our program. Lots to get to. You know what we needed? Didn't know we needed it. Had no idea we needed it, but you always need it in this National Football League world where there's dome games and then there's South Florida games and there's West Coast games. We needed a snow game. Everybody needs to just have a snow game every now and then.
Revert back to your youth.
And last night, we got a snow game. You heard there'd be a wintry mix. The rain. Dreaded wintry mix.
Oh, yeah.
That means there's rain mixed with the snow. We don't want that. We don't want wintry mixes. We need big, fat, white snowflakes coming down. We need it looking like an old school television set, black and white, when there was nothing on and you just saw static on the screen. That's the way you need it to look like. You need the snowflakes, big, fat snowflakes coming down. And then you know what you need? You need an AFC North game. An old school AFC Norris game, to use the Chris Berman phrase.
Smash mouth.
You need two teams that just don't like each other. You need the Steelers and the Browns having at it. That's what you need.
Two cities that don't like each other. Two fan bases that don't like each other.
But what they can get together and say they like? Snow. A big ass snow game. That's what we needed. We got that last night on Amazon Prime.
Snow globe.
You betcha. You need Nick Chubb running downhill. That's what you need. You need Nick Chubb running downhill or running in the end zone. You need Najee Harris bowling some people over. You need George Pickens, beast receivers. That's what you need. David Njoku. That's what you need. You need big-ass people. You need T.J. Watt coming at you. You need Myles Garrett, the Grim Reaper.
I'm the best.
You need these guys in sleeves. That's what you need. You need them in sleeves. I'm not one of those guys. I'll tell you this, though. I texted some people who are in the Amazon Prime Video broadcast in the middle. Didn't need to see that guy with his shirt off 15 times. That we didn't need.
Oh, no. That guy was great.
It was dinner time around here in Los Angeles.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, we didn't see the same guy.
Big drunk Clevelanders with their shirts off.
I get it first time. I get it the fifth time. Tenth time, I get the point.
Yeah, they were having fun.
I understand that. I don't begrudge him. I just didn't need to see it for the 10th time. That's all.
You know what? I don't get some of the David Njoku, the running backs. Yeah. No gloves?
Yeah.
No gloves?
Yeah.
Grown men.
In the snow?
Oh, yeah.
With a grip, the ball slipping and sliding everywhere? David Njoku might have needed the gloves.
And then you know what you need? You just, when you think this game's not really giving you the fireworks that you need, and you know the snowflakes are coming down, you're like, really? It's 10-6. Is that what it is? Really? We're just going to get field goals? One touchdown is going to win it. That's all it's going to be. The team that gets the one touchdown is going to win it. And the Cleveland Browns had that one touchdown. And then the fourth quarter hit. You need a snow game where you think nothing's going to happen, and then everything happens, and it goes off the rails. You need a fourth quarter snow game, a snow game in the fourth quarter where 27 points and four touchdowns is scored, or 15 touchdowns and two turnovers. That's what you need. And I could sit here and tell you about it. And I will give you my perspective on what happened. But there's only one person who could appropriately describe what happened in that fourth quarter. 27 points, four touchdowns, 15 first downs, two turnovers. That's Jameis Winston. And he does it as only Jameis can. Hit it. Just go ahead. Hit it.
That fourth quarter, it really was like it was a whole paradigm shift. Like, we were playing so well offensively, and then bang, bang, back-to-back drives with turnovers. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh. Like, this is really an NFL's film moment. The snow starts pouring down. It starts getting – like, my feet started getting heavy because I'm squishing through the snow. And, man, it was so good. And it was so great to end up getting that win.
There you go. Jameis Winston revealed the ending to. Spoiler alert, Browns won. And you know who doesn't like a snow game? George Pickens doesn't like a snow game. No. And I'll just tell this to George.
He's from Georgia.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I understand.
You know what I mean?
Right. And he played his bowl games probably in domes, right?
Yeah.
Bowl games in domes. George, you're playing Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
He doesn't like a snow game. As a matter of fact, he said the snow was the 12th man for the Cleveland Browns. That was the difference in the game. George Pickens, hit it.
What do you guys try to take away from this loss? What's the message, you know, in the locker room?
Just keep grinding. Like I said, conditions played a huge, huge part in today's game. I don't really think the Cleveland Browns are a good team at all. I think the conditions kind of saved them today.
Man.
Bad blood.
That's great.
God Big bless. Fat snowflakes. George Pickens. Not a fan of the snow game.
Nope.
You know what I'm not a fan of? That third and fourth, third down and four play call in the fourth quarter. When all the Steelers need to do is just keep stringing together first downs and they win this football game.
Keep running the ball.
And wasn't a fan of that one. But this is what drives me crazy. And I understand why they did it. And you're like, probably fans are like, why are you calling that play call on third and fourth? Why are you doing it if you're going to go deep, throw the deep chunk play? Why are you doing it with the wrong quarterback?
Right.
Why are you doing it with Justin Fields when you've got the whole point of Russell Wilson's success so far as the Steelers quarterback are the chunk plays, the moon balls, the big deep pass that Justin Fields cannot accurately throw and Russ can do so well. This is why you're talking about him being on a Hall of Fame career path. Why are you doing it with Justin Fields? You know why? And this is the thing drives fans crazy. It's because that's what the coverage dictated. It 100% dictated, throw it there. Throw it there, even though it's a very low percentage play, when there's not a game being played inside a snow globe with the football gods shaking it up every single damn snap, certainly in the fourth quarter. That's what seemed to happen. You know, the first three quarters was this game was in a snow globe resting on the mantle. The fourth quarter, it was the football gods grabbing it and just shaking it. You know, like a five, like a four-year-old.
When the grandkid comes over to grandma's house and takes the snow globe.
And you got to take it out of the kid's hand because it's going to be on the floor. A dog's going to step on it, or somebody's going to throw it. It's going to break. You know, all that. I used to go around the country for Thursday Night Football and get snow globes for Zan when he was a little kid.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. And he used to have like 90 of them. And he used to say, Dad, you coming home with a snow globe? And I'd have to grab one, you know, getting
from the airport.
From the airport, yeah. And then you know what would end up happening? All of them broke. That's what last night's game was. And the question is why are they doing it? Because that's what the coverage dictated. They might have had another play, but when you see Pickens out there, you're going to throw it to Pickens out there. Problem was, the offense of the Steelers for the first three quarters was beginning to falter enough to they start switching quarterbacks. You're starting to switch quarterbacks. And last night was the ultimate axiom: when you got two quarterbacks, you got none in that moment of third and four. Because the Browns got the ball back and won a game. That's what happened. And, you know, you could sit there and wonder, what's with the play calling? What's with this? What's with that? Why would you do it? Coverage dictated it. Hey, you're a professional quarterback, Justin Fields. That's what the coverage dictates on third and four in a snow globe game. Throw it. Didn't work. And there's tons of second guessing that you can have on that. Tons. After the game, this is what Coach Tomlin had to say.
It was a hard-fought game. They made more plays over the course of 60 minutes than we did. Obviously, we got to own our portions of it. Particularly early on, man, I thought it took us too long to warm up to the action. You know, we were penalized some pre-snap penalties. It just wasn't really sharp. We got going. Our guys fought. But it wasn't enough to secure victory. And so it's painful, but it's life in this business. We'll take a look at the tape and learn from it, man. We're in the midst of some thick AFC North action, and so no rest for the weary, man. We got a big one coming up.
That big one is at Cincinnati after a mini bye. Then here comes Cleveland to Pittsburgh. It'll be great if it snows in that game, so George Pickens can realize it could snow for you too, you know.
Circumstances.
It might have been snowing in Pittsburgh last night for all I know, although that might have been the old lake effect. At any rate, then they're at Philadelphia. And then comes that stretch. That's the stretch. That's the stretch of any team that's playing on Christmas. Sunday, Saturday, Wednesday. And their Sunday, Saturday, Wednesday happens to be Philadelphia, Baltimore, Kansas City, with Philadelphia and Baltimore being road games. OMG. Could have used that one last night for sure. Offensively, you're concerned. For sure. For sure. They went, what was it, 19 straight drives before they found the end zone without a touchdown? Mm-hmm. They went several quarters in a row without scoring. Scoring drought, that's the sort of stuff you would see with Russ in Denver. You would see that sort of stuff with Russ at the end of Seattle. But Russ does make these throws. He makes some dimes. He throws the seam pass beautifully.
Calvin Austin was
beautiful.
Ooh, beautiful.
He throws deep balls beautifully. So you could just basically say, if you're Pittsburgh, concerns, yes. Ability to maybe make some proper changes and see some results, you bet. Issues with the schedule ahead, yeah, you bet. You bet. And the Ravens are like, thank you, going into the Harbaugh. They're like, thank you very much, because that two-game deficit in the loss column can be made up pretty damn fast.
Yeah, does this change who you feel is going to win the North?
No. I let's see what the Ravens look like in Los Angeles, because the Ravens' schedule ain't easy either.
Right.
I mean, that is not simple by any stretch of the imagination, because once the Harbaugh is over, Baltimore has to take on Philadelphia at home before they have their Sunday, Saturday, Wednesday, because they play on Christmas too. The thing for them, though, is they're at the Giants and Tommy Cutlets. And by the way, the Giants, we'll discuss shortly, just released Daniel Jones. He is gone officially. And then they have the Steelers at home and then at Houston. That week 16 game is going to tell you pretty much everything, I think, which is Ravens at versus Pittsburgh. So offensively, some questions. Defensively, they're so damn good, man. And they didn't even have Highsmith last night. But did get a very nice play out of Herbig. And and this is this team I'm not concerned about defensively at all. Offensively, if they go through a drought at the wrong time, that will be all she wrote. That will be all she wrote. But just chalk it up to last night. Going into the, you know, a road game in division where you throw records out. And the snow definitely didn't help either one of them. But the fourth quarter, it was up for grabs and it went on tilt. And then, you know, let's talk Browns for a sec. You just heard Mike Tomlin say that it took some time for the Steelers to warm up to the action. Well, the action came in the form of the Grim Reaper, Myles Garrett, who was a game wrecker in the first half. Three sacks, all of them in the first half. Three quarterback hits, three tackles for loss, and a forced fumble on Russell Wilson. He's the only player in the NFL with multiple games of three or more sacks this year. How about that? And he's now the seventh player with 10 or more sacks in at least seven straight seasons. He's now tied Lawrence Taylor, DeMarcus Ware, Bruce Smith, and Jared Allen in those regards, trailing only John Randall and Reggie White. Fourth player with 10 or more sacks in at least seven of his first eight seasons. This guy's going to the Hall of Fame. He won't have to go too far to see his bust in Ohio. 98 and a half career sacks now. Fifth most by any player in the first eight seasons. He ranks in this regard fifth for the most sacks the first eight seasons. You know who's fourth is T.J. Watt. So everybody just remember this snow globe game when both of these guys were on the field. And then you got Nick Chubb, man, who, despite all of his knee problems, last night, with his two touchdowns, became the third player in Browns franchise history with 50 or more career rushing touchdowns. The others are named Leroy Kelly and Jim Brown. Come on now. Talk about etching your name in team lore. Do you hear what Kevin Stefanski said after the game?
No.
Oh, gosh, this is a good soundbite. Although, I know it's going to lead to what you guys having some fun at my expense. This is Kevin Stefanski about the great Nick Chubb afterwards.
Yeah, I've run out of superlatives for Nick, honestly, and he's my favorite player on the team. You can tell everybody else has said that. I have a favorite kid, too. She's not here. But you know, Nick does the right thing all the time, and to see what he's gone through to come back and put himself where he is, just to be back playing in the first place and then to be back out there and performing like he's performing, scoring for this football team when we need him the most. He's a special, special player, but he's a great person.
Interesting.
Kevin Stefanski has three children, just in case everybody wants to know.
Yeah.
Don't even say it. Don't say it. Don't say it. You can't say it because you have one child. Don't even say it.
He has a favorite kid.
Don't even say it.
Oh, interesting.
Sometimes things that are understood don't need to be said.
No. I knew playing that soundbite would lead to this.
And he has a favorite player.
This action of you two guys coming around the edges, and I have no tackle protection.
Listen, we know
right now.
We know Tay Tay's your favorite.
Stop
we know Del Tufo's your favorite.
It's okay to admit things.
Del Tufo and Tay Tay.
I don't have a favorite child. I don't know what he's talking about. But I thought it was an interesting soundbite to play.
Weird.
And leave it at that.
Well, you know we can't leave it at that.
She's not here, said Kevin. He's got three children.
So does Rich.
All right.
Well, he probably has two boys and a girl like someone else that I know.
Stop it. I bet you the daughter is the youngest.
And the daughter's probably the youngest.
Yeah. I think you guys, need to talk football.
Sure. I mean, we can talk everything.
How about this one, too? How about this one, too? The Browns just snapped the Steelers' five-game win streak last night. You know what they did a couple weeks ago? Let me give you the exact... in week eight, you know what they did? They snapped the Ravens' five-game win streak.
All right.
Oh.
They have become...
Who are they playing next week?
The streak is on.
Five-game win streak?
Denver. Well, they're at Denver.
Denver.
Not a five-game win streak.
They could have a two or three-game.
Not a five-game win streak for Denver.
All right.
Just two. Would have been three had they beaten Kansas City. had they gotten that field goal. But anyway, the point is this. There's only one team in the Super Bowl era since the 70 merger to be below 500 and snap two divisional opponents five or better game win streaks in the same season. That's the Cleveland Browns of 2024.
Wow.
Fourth team of any record to snap two divisional opponents in of a five or better game win streak in the same season. So, they're now 2-2 under Jameis, which does lead to the question. We can ask it. It's lowest of low-hanging fruit. What if they had just read the writing on the Deshaun Watson wall back in early October? Don't forget, Jameis was third string on this team.
Yeah.
But all of us sitting in this room, and we don't bring stuff up just to say we were right. We also don't bring up stuff that we're wrong about too often. But that said, we all saw, man.
Felt like we were saying this
for
a while.
Come on, man. Yeah. We were all sitting here saying, what if they start Jameis? I don't know. Does Amari Cooper get traded? Is he on? I know there was financial stuff and contractual stuff at play here, too. But Jameis just has a certain way about him, guys. Jerry Jeudy has come alive. Six catches, 85 receiving yards. In the last four games, he's averaging almost 95 yards per game.
Yeah, Jerry Judy's balling low-key.
It's not low-key. He's just balling. Low-key because I guess nobody's talking about it. Because the team's 3-8. Just think about it this way. The difference between feeling 3-8 in the NFL, the Browns, where they're bouncing off the walls, feeling good about themselves. The Jets are also 3-8. How are they feeling?
Not.
And by the way, Stefanski, the whole business is you're going to get fired. No way. Get out of here. I mean, he would be hired in the proverbial 5 minutes. So, hey, Browns, you could sit here thinking about what might have been or just revel in what you're doing right now. Finish up strong. See what you can do over your final six.
Yeah, play spoiler.
They certainly can with Pittsburgh, who they face in the final game of the season.
Although they're in that weird spot. They really need a quarterback. Pardon me, they really need to be in the top five of this draft. And if they keep winning games, they're not.
My bad. It's Baltimore they play in the final game of the season. They play Pittsburgh in a couple weeks. Denver, Pittsburgh, Kansas City, Cincinnati, Miami, Baltimore. Every single one of those teams has opportunities to either solidify their playoff positioning or try and come from a deep hole to make the playoffs. And the Browns are standing in each one of their ways. And, 9-8 wouldn't be a bad record to finish and see what happens. Certainly, if you've got to leapfrog teams like, say, Denver, who they're playing, Cincinnati and Miami, who they're playing.
Well, you're talking about Cleveland winning out?
If a quarterback can throw it and a running back can run it and a defense can stop it, why not?
That would be the worst possible thing for this team.
I understand that you, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
They went from having the number one pick in the draft, being slated number one right now, to now seven.
But then, you have to win the games in front of you. There are still many grown-ass men in the locker room that need to be attended to.
I get it.
Which is what I think happened with Daniel Jones. Our way of saying, let's take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. It's a What's More Likely Friday. I've got my top five games that I'm also looking forward to for the rest of Week 12. Mark Harmon in studio, 844-204-RICH, is the number to dial here on this program. For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
Need a holiday gift that will keep her sparkling all year long? Blue Nile, the original online jeweler, has experts on hand 24/7 who can help you find the perfect piece.
Beyond that, Blue Nile makes the gifting experience easier than ever with guaranteed free shipping and returns, as well as a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Right now, get 30% off jewelry at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com for 30% off. BlueNile.com.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle. You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better, because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part, or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts. All right, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial on the program.
A movie program.
I saw on the flight back yesterday. I had not seen. Caught up on it.
What do we got?
Really enjoyed it. Laughed out loud at it multiple times, like literal audible laughing out loud. Deadpool versus Wolverine.
I knew that's what it was.
Wasn't it awesome?
It was great.
I loved it.
I just don't know. Ryan Reynolds' sense of humor just gets me every time.
Well, the writing is just phenomenal.
The fourth wall breaking.
Yep.
But the industry jokes as well made me laugh out loud. The one that made me laugh out loud was him telling Wolverine that Fox killed off his character, but Disney now has him, which means he'll be working till he's 90. Yeah. That made me laugh out loud.
The only bad thing about this story is I wish you would have seen this on the big screen.
Yeah, sure. It was great in the theater. Yeah, but
theater played awesome.
Yeah. My 13-year-old son, Cooper, saw it in the theater and loved it. Came home, he loved it, and now I need to walk him through all the gore and the violence and the gratuitous violence and all of that.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
And it hasn't affected him. He's just the same old sweetheart of a kid.
Yeah. It's great. Yeah. That movie should win an Oscar for writing. It was so good.
Yeah. I mean, I sat there and went like, what would make you say that? Like, how do you write a line for something? Some of the stuff that comes out of their mouths or their fingertips, it's like, where does this come from, man?
Also, the cameos were great.
Yeah, it was great.
I mean, TJ, we loved it. When Wesley Snipes showed up as Blade, that was...
Come on. Didn't expect it.
That was awesome. Well, you're like, oh, really? No way. Yes!
Rich, that's even better. You didn't see it coming. So that's great.
That was great. And
Channing Tatum as well with his Cajun accent.
I'm a big man for myself.
Laugh out loud funny. Honestly, one of the funniest movies I've seen all year. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Oh my gosh. In the world of New York sports, I guess, positions. The most pressure packed, I should say, would be center field for the Yankees, closer for either one of the teams, Mets or Yankees, center for the New York Knicks, I would say, or point guard for the New York Knicks, either one.
Yeah, two very famous spots.
Either one. And then quarterback of the New York Giants. I would say quarterback of the Jets, but to be very frank, the level of expectation from the Jets and that position is so low, there's no pressure that comes with it, similar to the New York football Giants. And certainly when you're replacing Eli Manning, who will be, and I know there's been conversations even from this chair over the last 2 days, will be a Hall of Fame quarterback. Everybody get ready for it if you believe he doesn't deserve it. I don't know what to tell you.
We all agreed. We just said we didn't think he'd be first ballot Hall of Fame.
But I'm just going to say, again, coming off of Eli Manning's tenure and being the guy after the guy, it's very difficult to be the guy after the guy. And Daniel Jones became that guy after the guy from Duke. And I proffer to say this. There wasn't probably a single diehard New York Giant fan that watched a single game of Duke football while Daniel Jones is quarterbacking. Period.
No way.
Okay? So they're like, kid from Duke, sounds like Eli, but why are we drafting him sixth overall in a draft? Certainly there were pundits at the time saying massive mistake. One of them was on our program. Joel Klatt said it was going to set the franchise back years, and he said that the day after. Mm-hmm. Todd McShay was another one on ESPN at the time, saying that he saw Daniel as a backup quarterback. He sounded like Eli. There's a past tense involved with him now for New York. Sounds like Eli, but never played like Eli in the big game, with the exception of one time. Not saying he didn't win big regular season games, but nothing compares to playoff time when you're a Giant and you're a Giant quarterback in the NFL, and he made the playoffs that one time, and they walked into Minnesota, and he was superb. Honestly, superb. If anybody has nothing to do and they're bored, just look at his YouTube highlight of that one. Now, he did take over for Eli when Eli was, you know, coming off of the year where he finally had his starting streak snapped when Ben McAdoo chose to put Geno Smith in as a starter. If you remember all of that. And that led to just a whole big holy hell of a mess. And if you remember, Chris, do me this favor. Look up his start in Tampa. I believe it was his rookie year.
Oh, his first start?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was dynamite.
Yeah, they came back and won that.
And he had the ability on occasion for the Giants to run it and throw it and be unstoppable. Like he was in that playoff game in Minnesota. When I came in this studio into this microphone, in this chair, and said it was like watching Colin Kaepernick dismantle the Green Bay Packers in one of the greatest stat lines you'll ever see from a quarterback in a playoff game.
Yeah, so that game against Tampa, that was week 3, 2019. 336 yards, 2 touchdowns. He had 2 touchdowns rushing.
He's unbelievable.
They won 32-31 in a huge comeback.
Rick Dalton Jeff, there it is. That's the guy they wanted to draft. And just put every single time you thought this kid was special and had the ability to be special and did something special, he very rarely followed it up with something as special. And it's not all on him. You know, different coaches, different priorities in the draft, general managers never really kind of had a shot, which is why the Giants decided to give him that shot after he gave that performance in that Minnesota game, certainly when they couldn't sign Saquon Barkley to a long-term deal and didn't franchise tag Daniel Jones to hedge their bet and laid their big bet on him. Although not as big a bet as you're seeing placed in the baskets currently of Trevor Lawrence and Tua Tagovailoa, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, today's the day on this day, the Friday of week 12 of the 2024 season, that the Giants just released Daniel Jones. And you knew something was coming because Daniel Jones spoke yesterday to the media after being benched earlier this week, coming out with a prepared statement like he was retiring, and then answered questions from the media to which he really didn't have much of an answer. Because the bottom line is, I saw it in Munich, the missed opportunities, the lack of consistent throws, the lack of consistent play, and then the maddeningly high quality play in a fourth quarter to deliver a comeback to force overtime. And in overtime, his rookie running back fumbles. Carolina gets the ball in perfect field position, kicks a field goal, and wins it. And that handoff to Tyrone Tracy Jr. in overtime turned out to be the last snap of Daniel Jones' Giants career, because they benched him And part of the reason why they benched him is 100% the fact that some of the money that they intended to no longer pay him for next year would be guaranteed if he got hurt. And I'm sure there was there were business discussions between him, and he even said this in his press conference yesterday, between him and the coach and his agent in the front office. I'm sure if he waived his injury guarantee, they would have been like, okay, well, we'll consider keep playing you, but we're not going to play you when we don't intend to have you here next year. And that's the reality of the business. And he got sat, and then if there was any indication that it was time to go, they put him all over the place in practice. He was a scout team safety yesterday during practice. Now, you could call that disrespectful, but it's just like, you know, you want to be part of the team? This is the way you can be part of the team and help us out. But that is definitely a bright, shining neon light saying, you know, like those horror movies when you heard a voice from in the house saying, get out. And today, he asked for his release and the Giants complied. And he's no longer with the team. John Mara put out a statement. He came to see me this morning, asked if we would release him. We mutually agreed it would be best for him and the team. He's been a great representative of our organization, first class in every way. His handling of the situation yesterday exemplifies that. We're all disappointed in how things have worked out. We hold Daniel in high regard and have great appreciation for him. We wish him nothing but the best in the future. This was him yesterday when it was mentioned that some of his teammates spoke well of him throughout this very difficult tenure of his Giants career that did appear to be coming to a close when this question was posed to him.
What does it mean to you that players like Dex, Darius, and other guys are standing up and saying, like, either we don't agree with this or we still believe Daniel would give us the best chance to win?
Like I said, created a lot of great relationships here with the guys here, and definitely appreciate the support, but it's about the team and what's best for the team, and I know the guys will be ready to go. I know Tommy will be ready to go this week.
For him to say, I know Tommy's going to be ready to go this week, meaning DeVito, the guy who's replacing him from third string, and, you know, fighting back tears, and it's just, it sucks, man. The NFL can be a brutal business, but it is a results-oriented business. Mm-hmm. 2-8 this year, 8 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, coming off of an injury-marred season that made these stats seem like low numbers for somebody who's signed this deal a couple years ago. But he's 3-13 ever since he signed that big fat deal that a lot of people were wondering if he deserved or not, despite how well he performed in the playoff season before getting that contract in front of him. I mean, that's essentially it. He was born into the Giants with a lot of questions, and he leaves with with the biggest question unanswered, which is, where was the consistency? Where was that guy? All of his big performances were followed up by less than performances that begged the question of, where did that guy go? Why can't we get that guy more consistently? A lot of that had to do with the offensive line in front of him and a lot of the issues that Saquon was hurt when mm-hmm. Daniel Jones could have used him. The weaponry around him wasn't as skilled as other places. Not all on him. But where did that guy go could be the question of Daniel Jones's Giants tenure. Where did that guy go? That guy being the guy who would perform with his legs and his arms and run 25 miles an hour, like have the high GPS speed of anybody in the NFL, and go, where did that guy go when he started the next game? And so that's now the question, where does this guy go? If I am sitting in the team offices in Las Vegas, Nevada right now, I am all over Daniel Jones after the waiver period clears, because obviously I don't want any piece of his contract. I will sign him tomorrow. I will get him in Norv Turner's playbook, and I will start him as soon as I can. That's the spot I would send him to right now. Name me others, guys. Go ahead.
I think the most hilarious...
Tennessee would be a good one.
The most hilarious spot is Dallas.
Well, you know what?
And you start him Thanksgiving against the Giants.
You know what? Cooper Rush knows the playbook, and the Giants, the Dallas doesn't have that in him, man. You know, or you know, if I'm his agent, I'm knocking on the doors of San Francisco.
Miami.
Well, Miami, you're sitting him there just to, you know, just in case Tua does go down and your season doesn't go up in smoke. That's a good one. San Francisco with Brock Purdy limited practicing, not throwing much because his throwing shoulder's dinged up. If I'm not mistaken, the Pastronaut is second in command there. Oh. Josh Dobbs. I'd check on the Rams. You want him in our his quarterback room, Sean McVay, because that's where all of the, you know,
they have Jimmy G and Stetson Bennett.
I understand that, but if I'm the agent, I'm knocking on the door of Les Snead to say, can he learn there at the side of Sean McVay? But to play meaningful games, San Francisco could use him if Purdy can't go.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Laugh all you want. I mean, he is a really talented young guy who just doesn't have the consistency, or he doesn't see the field for somebody who went to Duke so smart. I saw it with my own two eyes. That's part of the reason why he got benched. I saw it with my own two eyes in Munich. Guys were wide open, and he kept missing them, or he didn't see them. And Daboll just had enough.
Yeah. The thing, too, if you're the Raiders, Jags, Titans, you really don't want to win any more games.
Sure. But,
you know?
But if you're Miami, you're right. Like, you know,
Miami is a great spot, right? Their backup situation, not great. So Tua goes down again. Daniel Jones, I feel like,
a bad one.
Would be perfect.
Not a bad one at all.
Perfect for that.
And Daniel Jones rests where a lot of the punditry, when he got drafted first round by the Giants, thought he should be, which is backup quarterback. And, you know, hey, Daniel, this is stuff can make you stronger. I get it. For sure. I mean, people may be telling you that. It may be tough for you to understand that right now. Look at what Joe Flacco's doing. Geno Smith is doing. Yeah. Jared Goff is doing.
He's going to get more opportunities. Guys get hurt every year.
It's not like he's 34.
Exactly. So he's going to get another chance to play and start in this league. I guarantee that.
And maybe this year.
Yeah. Just a quick story. Back in 1999, I remember it was July 1999. I'm living in Pittsburgh, and I was just unhappy. I'd come out to L.A. to visit, and I knew I wanted to come back out here. And I'm having lunch with my buddy Raph and telling him how I'm feeling. I'm like, I think it's time to go. And I got a fortune cookie, and I still have this fortune to this day. It said, sometimes a change of scenery makes all the difference in the world. And a month later, I ended up moving out here. Maybe that will hold true for Daniel Jones. New York just wasn't the spot. He gets out. He gets a fresh start, and he's able to turn it around.
Hey, man, New York's not for everybody.
Yeah, it's...
Northeast Corridor's not for everybody.
Tough, man. It's a tough place. They and have to grow
for sure.
Up.
TJ Jefferson, the Daniel Jones of the Rich Eisen Show.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, very good. All right, we'll take a break here. 844-204-RICH. Chris Mannix is going to be joining us in studio top of next hour.
Hey.
He wants to spike the football on all of us. About Jake Paul and Mike Tyson. Obviously, he was in town for last night's last second Orlando Magic win over the Los Angeles Lakers.
Last night,
Luka Doncic is out for who the hell knows how long. There's lots to talk about with Chris, but he wants to spike the football on us in the worst way. That's coming up top of the next hour.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for shoppers, buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify. With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts are going abandoned and way more sales happening. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Westwood1 to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/Westwood1.
O'Shea Jackson Jr. and TJ Jefferson bring their unique take on sports entertainment with no contest wrestling, with guests like Swerve Strickland.
Why do you use staples like sensu beans, man?
No, it was just something, the concept I came up with. It's an instrument used to punish. It was just finding those common items. If you see them, you automatically think back to me in that moment. So it's one of those things I wanted to just implement in like my whole character, being the most dangerous man in AEW.
The No Contest Wrestling Podcast, part of the Rich Eisen Podcast Network, wherever you listen.
We have a new drop. Play the new drop. That's okay. I didn't expect it to be played on, but go ahead and hit it.
I'm about to make a name for myself here.
I'm serious. Like Channing Tatum's character in Deadpool versus Wolverine was laugh out loud funny.
You know how long I've been waiting for this?
Funny. Honestly, I don't recall any movie that's made me laugh out loud like that one.
Yeah, it was really
funny. Yeah, Susie's sitting next to me. She's like, what is so funny? And I'm like, this movie is hilarious.
It is. It's really good.
And I got to talk to Coop because I don't know. Some of this stuff would have to go a little over a 13-year-old's head.
I would say a lot over his
I would
head.
Say unless you're really into that universe, a lot of those inside jokes went over your head, but it was still wildly entertaining.
Well, also just like, why is Thor crying? back to that. Like, that was funny.
Right. Oh, yeah. Matthew McFadden.
Yeah. Wamsgans was great.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It was good to see him there. Yeah. Who else was just really great? And obviously, you know.
Well, Evans as a Fantastic Four guy, but he originally thought he was going to be his captain.
Everybody thought he was Captain America, and he flamed on. And I remember the theater was like,
oh. Yeah, right. That was great. Oh, the line that he said about, again, just the way that Deadpool would just take you out of the actual movie and the construct and make references about real life of the character. Like he said, I forget what line it was, talking about how he was going to, pointing to Wolverine, that he was going to go do the Music Man in the theater, somewhere in the middle of nowhere or whatever.
Just like he's making a Hugh Jackman Broadway reference.
Oh my God.
You're just
God.
Like, wait, what?
That Coop would not get that.
Right.
Right?
No.
But that made me laugh out loud.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Really enjoyed that movie.
Yeah. Ooh, I'm about to make a name for myself here.
Great new drop. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. One big happy family with our Roku channel feed. If you're in the market for a new bed, fresh reminder here in late November, please stop by at a Sleep Number store right now. They can assess your body's pressure points, recommend a bed at every price point that's just right for you. Find the right bed that is perfect for you and your spouse or partner, and it is awesome. So if you're in the market for a new bed, please stop by right now at a Sleep Number store near you. Just one other thing to point out here, with the Daniel Jones.
Another thing.
The Daniel Jones release today. Now, a lot of you folks out there still might be wondering, why is the NFL playing over in Europe? Why are they sending teams over to Europe? And I think if there was still a little piece of that in you, Chris, or you, TJ, you going to Munich and spending time for those 2 days there, the week of an NFL game, answers the question, right?
Absolutely.
That the NFL should be doing this because that's where diehard fans are.
Absolute diehard.
Correct?
That's where we create new fans.
We met them at 2 a.m. in an Irish bar.
I think NFL Europe helped create those fans. Now the NFL is nurturing those fans, sending the game to where diehards live.
Makes sense.
Okay, so there's that. There's also the atmosphere in the games. I can personally attest, it's lit, man. Mm-hmm. Certainly in Germany, where they're just chanting and partying and drinking and dressing up from the first second to the last.
European crowds are different.
Giants, yeah. Panthers, perfect example. 400,000 ticket requests were made for Giants, Panthers in Munich. If that game was the home game in Carolina, as it would have been otherwise, the stadium would have been half filled. Right. Let's give you that. Let's go 13, the optimistic 000. Way of looking at it. Half filled. There wouldn't have been 400,000 ticket requests. Mm-hmm. And the fans there wouldn't have created the atmosphere like the one that was in Munich, with all due respect to the keep pounding hashtag fans of Charlotte and Carolina. These are facts. It wouldn't have been seen by the whole country. So that's just one way of pointing this out. But the other thing is, I don't know what it is about these games over in Europe, but coaches get fired off of them and careers get altered from the one game. Robert Saleh got fired after the London game for the Jets this year, and Daniel Jones gets released after the Munich game for the Giants this year. I don't know what it is. Okay, last year, Mac Jones threw two interceptions in Frankfurt, Germany, and it was over. He did have some more snaps for the Patriots, but it was essentially, let's see what we got in Bailey Zappi because we're done with this guy.
Well, didn't Tom Curran say it was basically over for Bill?
Correct.
At the end of that game also.
That was a very big inflection point in the history of Patriots. Kraft, Belichick, was based on what happened in Frankfurt, Germany. Dennis Allen got fired as a Raiders coach.
Yep.
For after losing. I don't know what it is, because maybe it's bye weeks happen after frequently. And these decisions usually get made in bye weeks. Or maybe it could be one of us at NFL Network. I don't know. Maybe it's an MP.
Wasn't the Jets report that Woody was embarrassed in front of his British friends?
Let me say this. I don't know if it was London or not, but for that report, if true, that Woody Johnson would, after the Jets fall to 2-2, after starting 2-1 for the first time since 2015, after those four dreadful, rightfully dreadful quarters, certainly on offense, against Denver, for him to then call an all-hands meeting the Monday after that. For him to call an all-hands meeting with coordinators, meaning, yeah, this is going to easily get back to the player involved. And at one point, whether it was said in half-hearted jest or not, to suggest benching Aaron Rodgers to the point where the coaches and everybody in the room had to put Humpty Dumpty back together for Rodgers just four games into his reattached speed-bridged Achilles season to save him from being benched. The only explanation for that, to be blunt, lunacy, is London was such an important game for the former ambassador of the UK. Because I'll tell you what, seeing that report, that happened that Monday, we saw Saleh and Rodgers and Sauce and Alan Lazard 5 days later. And when each of them left the room, all of us in the broadcast team that interviewed them, we were all like, something is up. They were very morose. Mm. Sauce, who, you know, is usually very animated, not at all. No doubt in my mind, Rodgers had to have been told. The coordinator, Nathaniel Hackett, he's in that meeting. He's not going to tell Rodgers. You'll have no idea what just happened.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And by the way, this also gives you an idea of, everyone should understand this. If this is all true, the whole idea that Rodgers pulled a code red on Saleh, that can't be true, because Saleh prevented him from being benched going into London. And then Saleh eats it the next week. Is it because of London and these games are this important to upper management for various reasons? It was for Kraft, very personal. Germany was very personal for Kraft because the Patriots were the first team to ever have an all German language website as an NFL team. So these Europe games, fans, you don't want them played? Guess what? They are hugely important and drama-packed before and after and during. I don't know what it is. But I heard that story from, what was it, Diana Rossini and a host of
Zach Rosenblatt,
reporters.
Yep.
I read this and I'm like, well, you know, it makes no sense to want to bench Aaron Rodgers four games in.
He was playing well at that point.
They had just boat raced the Patriots in front of the whole country. If that doesn't make the owner of the Jets wildly pleased,
right,
to the point where four dreadful quarters should be able to be absorbed emotionally properly, I don't know what will. I was texting everybody in the broadcasting. I'm like, could you imagine if we had broadcast a Tyrod Taylor game versus Sam Darnold as Rodgers stands there and with an earbud in his ear as a healthy scratch?
Right.
Could you imagine? And so, yeah, Rodgers had to know when he sat there in our meeting the day before and took the field for the Jets, knowing that it was at least broached either humorously or not. But when an owner says something in jest, everyone in the room, hey, to anybody in management, upper management, when you joke about something to people in the room, they're going to think that you're being serious. FYI.
Yeah. Jeez.
Speaking of somebody who's on both sides of that fence, here at NFL Network. Hey, it's Rich Eisen here. Join me and my compadre, Chris Brockman, every Monday on the Overreaction Monday podcast.
Rich, Jameis has taken the Browns to the playoffs.
Dude.
Why can't they win 7-8 games to finish the year? Why not?
I'm not saying there's no why not, but this is a definitive statement that's clearly an overreaction and is perfect fodder for a show like this one. I appreciate you coming out of the gate hot. Come react or overreact with us. Overreaction Monday, wherever you listen. It's game over.
Over, man.